Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve. Hello, I'm Pip, and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast. Part of my mission in ensuring your pregnancy, birth, and motherhood journeys are supported, positive, and empowering. Are you ready? Let's get chatting. Pregnancy, the hormonal rollercoaster of physical and psychological change that some days, let's face it, is super tough. But what if the food we eat could really influence our health and happiness? We could enjoy delicious cake and comforting food and reap health benefits too. Now, I don't know about you, but I am well and truly sold on that idea. And this week's guest is beyond qualified in the field of nutrition. And I'm very excited to talk about how the food we eat can lead us to enjoy a healthier and happier pregnancy. Rhiannon Lambert is one of the UK's leading nutritionists, a best-selling author and chart-topping podcast host. Founding Retrition in 2016, a renowned Harley Street clinic, which specialises in weight management, sports nutrition, eating disorders, and pre- and postnatal nutrition. As an evidence-based practitioner, Rhiannon is committed to the benefits of a scientific approach to nutrition. Now, Rhiannon is also a best-selling author to Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, Top of Your Game, Eating for Mind and Body, and The Science of Nutrition. Rhiannon is also super mum goals in my eyes, as after publishing her science-packed book last year, she's also just published an incredible practical book called Deliciously Healthy Pregnancy, designed to support your body and baby through each stage of pregnancy and early motherhood. I've managed to steal Rhiannon away from her own podcast, Food for Thought, to share her wisdom with us today. So welcome and thank you. You are beyond incredible. I don't know how you fit everything into the day whilst growing humans. So thanks for coming on to join us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me. I mean, let's face it, all women growing humans, pretty remarkable feat, isn't it? On top of a normal everyday to day task.
I mean, it's pretty incredible, but we don't all publish books and run a podcast and a clinic and Instagram accounts and all the other stuff you do and grow a human. So you are amazing. Actually, do you know what, Rhiannon? I think it's okay to say that you're an inspiration. I feel like you have to take that.
Oh, God.
Because we always sell ourselves short, don't we?
Well, we do, but equally I feel very silly when you list off all those things. Half of me, I do genuinely, when I hear it back, think, am I crazy? Like, you know, people would say. And I guess, yeah, I'm very fortunate to have opportunities. I grasp them. I'm a live with no regrets type of girl, and somehow things get done. I'm not saying it's the healthiest way to live all the time, but it gets done.
It gets done. And I guess at some point you take a little bit of a break and a little bit of relax and unwind, I hope.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yes, this time round as well in the pregnancy, because it's very different to having a baby in the pandemic where running a business, I couldn't afford to take any seconds off the clock financially. You know, you just didn't know what on earth was going on. But this time round, I do have scheduled sort of leave in where, you know, I don't have to do any appearances anywhere or travel and do clinic, which is lovely.
Good. You can sit at home in your PJs, yes, snuggling, yes, your baby, which is
just, oh, I can't, best, wait. Yeah.
Oh, good, oh, for you. Good for you. So when I mean, we are a repeat guest, which is super exciting. I've managed to see you again.
Thank you for I can't believe it. I feel so honoured.
It's great. It's great. I'm super fortunate. So when we think about a healthier pregnancy, we're delving straight into it here. Because I think sometimes when we think about eating well, eating healthy, I don't want to use the term diet because I really hate it, but I know that will spring to some people's minds. I think we automatically think about excluding foods or even whole food groups, banning foods. But actually, instead, can we not do that and still be healthy? Is there like swaps that we can do instead? Because Rhiannon, I'm still on my maternity leave and I really like cake.
and that's okay. This is just it. You can really like cake as long as you get the other areas in. And what you've mentioned is such a crucial psychological aspect of food, because food and psychology, I know we've discussed this briefly before, but they're so heavily intertwined. And I think a lot of us have been brought up or raised in society, or even societal norms tell us, cut back, cut back, cut back. If you see a nutritionist, they'll just tell you to eat leaves, that type of, you know, mindset, or eating an ounce, a tiny, tiny bit of sugar is terrible for you. Whereas it couldn't be further from the truth. What we really need to be doing is encouraging people, especially, you know, mums and busy people, we need to be fueling ourselves to try and get a lot more in. And then you can still enjoy the other areas too. Your diet kind of naturally balances itself out. So it's more about what you can add in and enjoying that cake and that moment. Because if you enjoy it, you're less likely to overeat on something or create binge eating behaviors or disordered eating, essentially. It's people that restrict that are more likely to have disordered eating behaviors.
And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because when it comes to anything in life, if we tell ourselves we can't have it or we're not going to have it, all we want is that thing, like whatever that is, we want that one thing that we've suddenly decided we can't have.
Oh, absolutely. You must see it all the time in your line of work in terms of, and it's something I learned from, well, I haven't had baby number two yet recording this at this point in time, but the birth is, you must see birth plans. And it's so important. I know you as midwives say, I wish I was more open-minded the first time around, because then you're not set up for disappointment. You're open to life.
Yeah, like birth preferences, amazing. A birth plan sometimes can be a bit challenging. And I guess it's the same, right, with our nutrition preferences or plans, same principles.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like what you said, Rhiannon, about thinking about adding things in, because when we think about pregnancy and women start thinking, I can't eat that, I have to avoid that, that can start to feel naturally restrictive. But actually, there's lots you can eat, isn't there, and should be eating.
There's so much you can eat. This is the strange thing. And this is what compelled me to write my new book. I think it's because I was looking, especially in my first pregnancy, which is actually what inspired this book. I was looking for a book on nutritional information, just because I like to go a little bit, obviously I'm a nutritionist, I like to look into it in more depth and have a look at the science, see what the research says. And I noticed a common theme, like you've just said, that most pregnancy information is about what you can't have. It's avoid the unpasteurized foods. You know, you can't have XYZ. It has to be thoroughly cooked, all these sorts of things. But there's a whole diet out there of food. In fact, I'd say you can still eat 90% of the food out there. It's just very few items that you shouldn't be consuming in excess, like caffeine anyway, that should be limited. So for most people, just following a healthy Mediterranean style diet. And when I use the word healthy, I'm very aware that language, that that word will look different to all of your listeners. You know, to someone, healthy could mean they ate their five a day that day. To someone else, it could be they just had one vegetable extra a day. You know, you've really got to weigh up what that word means to you. But that's delicious. It means you're getting your carbs, your protein, your fats. It's kind of like how you ate before, if you were conscious of that sort of thing. But you need more of key nutrients. So it's not about what you can't eat. It's about thinking, hang on a minute, my calcium requirements go up massively in pregnancy and then beyond to breastfeeding. Like for most people, it's 700 milligrams and it can go up to 1,000, 1,300, which is a huge amount of extra calcium that you need in the diet. What can I add in, you know, to get that? Am I having yogurt? am I having tofus can be calcium set? Am I adding in fish? What about beans and things like some greens? Kale contains calcium, broccoli. I'm going off on one, but basically there's a whole world of nutrients out there that's listed in the book that people want to try and get in as much as they can.
And then supercharge in pregnancy. Now, I guess it's no surprise to hear that eating healthily or eating a great nourishing balanced diet is amazing for our physical health. And I know we spoke on the podcast previously about how that has an interplay with our baby's development and growth and pregnancy outcomes and all of that brilliant stuff. But what about our mental well-being, Rhiannon, when it comes to what we eat? Because I think brilliantly, we're really lifting the lid now on mental health, and especially pregnancy and postnatally, we know that's a really vulnerable time for our minds. So can our nutrition support that as well? Just taking a mini pause to share with you an extra expert top tip from Avril, one of APTA Club's expert authors.
Hi, I'm Avril Flynn, a midwife and childbirth educator. Did you know that your pelvic floor has an important role to play during pregnancy, birth, and post-birth? A strong pelvic floor can support your baby and bladder in pregnancy, help rotate your baby's head in labour, and help prevent stress incontinence and prolapse when your baby is born. For more information, sign up to aptaclub.co.uk.
Absolutely. I would go as far as saying pregnancy and motherhood and beyond is the most vulnerable I think any woman, if they go through this, will feel for the first time in their entire life. You've become a complete different human overnight. Well, from the minute you find out you're pregnant, really, sure. But especially when the baby's born, because we know there's biological changes in the size of the amygdala and certain parts in the brain, the hippocampus that stores our memories. And then there's also the fluctuation of hormone drops and things that women go through, obviously, to create milk, to lose, go through the birth, you know, more than anyone, of oxytocin and all these different things women may be subjected to during this time in their lives. So it makes sense that we do what we can to eat, support it. So the key things I'd advise your listeners to kind of try and get in to their diets is making sure they're getting the right carbohydrates and combining them with a protein at every meal or snack opportunity that they can. Bread and butter just isn't enough. Bread and maybe nut butter or bread and hummus, something that's going to help these lovely building blocks of protein, amino acids, and one in particular called tryptophan. It needs to get through our brain in order to help convert to serotonin, but it can't get through the blood-brain barrier without carbs. So basically, protein and carbs should be best friends because they should be partnered together. And we should be eating a variety of sources of protein to get that particular amino acid, the building block. Imagine Lego, lots of different shapes of Lego for everyone listening, to make a structure. Protein is a structure, essentially, in our body. And that serotonin is our happy hormone. So we know diet can have a huge influence on that. Then there's conflicting research here, but most of it, I think a lot of strong evidence supporting the fact that 70 to 90% of serotonin is produced within the gut area. The debate.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
like, so basically it's your gut. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And think about it. That's all living bacteria. So if you're not looking after your diet, you're not looking after your gut health, you're not looking after the production of serotonin. If you're not eating those carbs and protein, you're not then looking after the transportation that you can actively initiate every day. And there's some research by the SMILES trials that suggests that following a Mediterranean style diet, which is rich in all these gut friendly things that we want, all the different prebiotics, lots of vegetables, fiber, carbohydrates, proteins, healthy fats, because the brain is also made of fats. I'll get into that in a minute. But it's basically been shown that it's more effective than going on antidepressants or taking drugs if you're dealing with depression. Wow. So that's powerful that we now have concrete information that medication isn't as effective as diet in some cases for some individuals. So for mums, all I can say is, I know it's not straightforward. you will end up with a cake for lunch some days. This is how it is. And that's okay. Remember that a cake will still give you some carbohydrate protein because it'll most likely be made of eggs, depending on if it's a vegan cake or not. I know there's sugar in it, but you're still going to be getting some essential nutrients from beige. In fact, I have a great page in the book explaining why the humble eggs on toast or something really basic that you think just isn't a goer actually gives you so much nutrients if you look at what's in an egg and what's in a slice of white bread and the fortification of calcium and folic acid and things in iron. So I'm waffling, but diet has a huge impact, humongous, and the healthy fat aspect. Our brain is 60% fats, and all of our cells are made with this lovely protective cushioning, a cell membrane, and you need a lot of omega-3s and healthy fats, which come from oily fish and nuts and seeds and avocados, to support the structure of the brain. And then you need the antioxidants from dark berries and things to stop the shrinking of the brain. So all of these components in a Mediterranean diet, a healthy diet, help you stay happy.
I love that. That's honestly blown my mind a little bit, because I love nutrition. I find it super interesting. But to really know that there's that incredible evidence-based link is amazing. Like, if there was a thing to prioritize, like, that just has to be it, doesn't it, in protecting your mental well-being?
Oh my goodness. And then if we look at it holistically as well, look at sleep as a mother, which is blooming hard anyway. Most people don't get it for like a whole year plus. We were discussing this before we came on air.
Sleep with bags under my eyes, down to my knees.
I mean, one day it comes back, but for a lot of mothers, you've got several years of
pause.
Of pause. And it's just simple lifestyle changes, like hydrate even more than ever before, because that does impact your mood. It's not just dehydration impacting your cells or your functioning. It does impact concentration and mood. Reduce your caffeine consumption. Cut it out before 10, 11, 11 latest, I'd say, because it has a long shelf life of up to 6 to 12 hours in the body. And it can trigger a poor quality sleep, even if you think it's helping you in the morning and you're desperate for that cup of coffee or two, becomes three, becomes four, you're really disrupting your sleep at night. And then you've got the aspect of the carbs and the serotonin I mentioned, the happy hormone, that converts to melatonin in the brain, which plays a role in circadian rhythms and sleep cycles. So if you're not eating well and you're not getting that serotonin production, you're then not helping your melatonin, which is your sleepy hormone, and you're not helping your sleep cycle. So you're just not doing yourself a favor, really.
My gosh, I could literally talk to you all day. I find it so, like, I love that, because I love the science behind it. I'm one of those people, really, that unless I understand the, like, why and that background bit, kind of doesn't feel applicable. Like, I can't apply it. But when I understand like the what and the why, then I'm like, oh, now I can do that how bit. I get that.
Yeah.
So I love
that. And it's not about taking food out. This is about taking food in. I'm asking every single mother to just drink more water, try and eat more carbs and proteins at meals, and they will feel better for it. As long as it's the right type of food, they will feel better.
Yeah, I love that. Now, I want to just rewind back. I know I made you go on a tangent there, because That was me. Brilliant. I love it. But you mentioned eggs on toast. I want to just go back to that a moment.
Okay.
Can we really eat healthily on both a time and a financial budget? Now, I think for everybody at the moment, finance is a thing, and we're trying to cut our bills everywhere, and food's definitely one of those. Can we still do it? Can we still eat healthily?
Yeah, you can, but it's about education, and it's really tough for people. I'm going to be really honest. Unless you are savvy with your freezer, you know the minute you buy a loaf of bread and check it's the fortified one, that you're putting it in the freezer and you only get it out when you toast it or the night before, knowing what you're going to do with it the next day, and you plan your meals, it's very easy for food to become extremely expensive. And food waste, I think household food waste in the UK, I'm just trying to recall the stat because it's in the Science of Nutrition, not the pregnancy book, but I have a whole page on how much waste. It's a lot. We need to get more savvy with how we cook meals and using up pulses and trying to switch our protein sources, not just to animal produce is expensive. Meat and fish is very expensive. You can buy some good frozen cuts of things, but that's going to cost you. Whereas a can of black beans or chickpeas could be 50, 60p. Baked beans, underestimated item. You can buy mixed beans and tomato sauce, own brand, reducing the sugar, reducing the salt, and getting a variety of pulses in something that still tastes like beans on toast, which can still be a very healthy meal because you've got the protein, the carbs, the iron, like I said before, the calcium, lycopene from tomatoes, a good antioxidant. I could reel it off on how these basic meals people think are just cheap and not nourishing can be nourishing.
That's good to hear. We've been eating loads of chickpeas recently.
Yeah,
not really
great.
Because of me and my husband's choice, but Finley, blooming loves them. He loves, honestly, this kid will eat chickpeas for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, given half a chance. And for lunch today, I mean, it was the last minute. We were at a baby group. We got home and he was hungry.
Yeah.
I was like, food needed now.
Yeah.
And chickpeas are ready, right? You got them in the can.
Yeah.
You can just like mash them up, whatever.
Yeah.
So he had chickpeas with some mashed sweet potato that was left over from dinner last night and a spoonful of peanut butter. It tasted like cookie dough. It was lovely.
Yum. Yum. And this is just it. What I love about feeding children, I know you'll have other episodes on this, but rules go out the window. We've got such a black and white mindset as adults of what a meal should look like, what it should contain. Whereas visually, when you're feeding children and you're mixing savory and sweet items together on the plate and you're getting creative like that, the sky's the limit. And you can really do that from a young age.
Yeah, I was literally like, protein, carbs, fat, done.
Yeah, done. Yeah, all in one, plus the extra vitamins. Yeah, from the potato, perfect.
Amazing. I'm pleased that you approve of his lunch today.
Yeah.
It was my finest hour. But
don't get me wrong, we all have moments where they may just eat cheese and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing wrong with a bit of cheese in my book. Now, your new book, Rhiannon, Deliciously Healthy Pregnancy.
Yes.
There are loads of recipes in this one, aren't there? So
there's 80.
Supporting you through 80. Oh my gosh. Supporting you through all stages of pregnancy.
Yeah. So I think what was missing on the market in my eyes, in the marketplace when I was looking especially as well, is something that's going to cater to mums with the symptoms throughout pregnancy. So women, like for myself, I know, I think the stat is 80 to 90% of women experience nausea. So not every woman will do, but a lot do. So what recipes are going to help with that situation? You know, adding certain items to the food like root ginger or little and often living by snacks and that type of thing. If you're just stomaching beige, how to get more vitamins and minerals within that beige meal. So it's, and reflux, catering for how to deal with reflux and foods and drinks. So it goes through trimester 1, 2, 3, and 4, which most pregnancy nutrition or anywhere do not include the blooming fourth trimester.
And
which
I think that's the hardest when it comes to nutrition, right?
It's a sin not to include it, in my opinion, because I just think you are suddenly thrown into the wild west of newborn territory. And you just don't get looked after in this culture anyway. I actually write about the comparison, as you've probably done a zillion times, between Asian cultures and 40-day, you know, rest periods that mums are on and people come and look after them. God, we don't get that here in the UK.
We've got to do everything. We've got to have a clean house. We've got to be meeting friends for coffee dates with our hair done. We've got to have our baby asleep in a routine by day two. Like,
oh,
it's work. Just,
it's overwhelming. And I go through, you know, let's prep. So how to prep before baby comes as well. So what's, I call them saucy kind of things to put in lunch boxes that could go with any base that you happen to have that's quick and easy. So just chuck it in the fridge the night before. The next day you'll have pasta with that, or you could put a potato with it. Or
amazing.
It's practical, but it contains options that are quick, easy, nourishing. And of course, I've got lovely sweet items in there as well. I've got some incredible brownies and incredible oat bars as well, and things that, but with packed with fiber and prebiotics and gut-friendly ingredients.
And that's really helpful, because one of the things that shocked me, I thought I was quite well prepared for the newborn period, given I'm a midwife. I didn't realize how starving I was going to be breastfeeding. I mean, that's next level hunger, and like day and nighttime hunger. Like, I had snacks in my nursing chair for nighttime.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you know, you can burn, I mean, the stats vary from different countries. I will say one of the fascinating things writing this book is, because it's a global book, having to go through the American team edits and the changes they wanted to make, especially over things like they don't agree with chamomile tea over in the US, whereas it's totally safe to consume here in the UK. Yeah. Controversial like areas. Yeah. But from an evidence-based route, it's totally safe, by the way, everybody. But breastfeeding, just to let you know, I've been drinking chamomile tea, it's fine. But you can burn up to 400 to 500 calories is the stat we have in the UK just from producing breast milk and the process of the feed itself. It doesn't mean you should automatically eat an extra 400 to 500 calories. That's totally individual, but you definitely need more. I'm not going to put an exact number on it. We know in the third trimester, they recommend 200 plus, you know, extra calories in the UK. Some countries, they say from the second onwards, it's very hard to study a pregnant woman, as we're also unique and
it's not very ethical. Yeah.
No, that's just it. You can't really starve a woman to know or, you know, to do these experiments. But
our
you
bodies are clever, right? We should be able to listen to our hunger cues. And like some days we might eat more than others, and that's cool.
I say honour your hunger is the most important thing, and try and this is where the book will be so helpful for so many women. That's what I really want, because a lot of women are so confused. They're thinking, right, I need energy, I need it fast. And often the cupboard isn't full of the best items sometimes, and partners don't know what to make or support, you know, or what to bring round for the best. And this time you'll have a whole book where you can be like, well, got 80 choices here.
Yeah. Get in the kitchen. But also I think sometimes people think they're being kind by bringing you round like a bagel or a pack of biscuits, because they don't really they don't understand that, what, you know, that evidence base that you were just talking about. They don't understand that. They don't know how that nourishing oat bar is going to impact your mood in a way that those pack of biscuits just kind of are.
Oh my goodness. And such a basic swap. You could make I've got some amazing oat biscuits in there, and you can just do those instead of a digestive. Don't get me wrong, enjoy the digestives as well, but if it becomes a daily habit where you know that you're not feeling good as a result of your diet, then something does have to change. And it's so hard when you have no support and you're having to dictate these types of things. So ask for help is my ultimate thing. And with the food, don't be scared to dictate a little bit. Could you just top up my fruit bowl for me? You know, that type of thing is invaluable. Could you make sure my water bottle's filled when you come over if I'm just stuck during a feed or something like that? I've got this all to come this time, because obviously it was lockdown last time, so I'm quite excited.
Yeah, that was so funny. That made me laugh. When my waters went, I wasn't in labour at this point. My husband like rushed home from work, and then because he was so aware of like hydration and nutrition with breastfeeding, done all of my courses like 100 times, he ran around the house filling up water bottles and like putting them in every chair, near every seat. Oh. There were snacks everywhere. He nailed that, actually.
So, that's so sweet.
But you're right, it's that support is invaluable, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, your husband's got a gold star, but I need to play this episode back to my hubby, like when it's be like, this is what someone else's husband can do. You're capable of the same.
It's your job. Now, can I test your book knowledge?
Yes, go for it. Game.
So we spoke about the symptoms, and that you've got recipes to match them. You look a bit. Yes. You look a bit scared now, Rhianna.
Yeah, I know. Just because I'm in full swing baby brain, but go for it. Go for it.
So I wonder, can I throw you a pregnancy symptom, and you throw me back a recipe in your book that will help combat it?
Yes, go for it.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. First one, nausea.
Oh my goodness. I have to say, when you're experiencing nausea, I would say something that tastes less extravagant and exotic and bland, even if it's the simple, I'm going to go back to that, and I'm saying bread and eggs, but I think bread and eggs, or even a cheese on toast, or I've got toast four ways, that type of thing in the book. So amazing. Nut butter, raspberries on toast, that type of thing. I'd say breakfast items. Don't be scared to eat breakfast items at dinner. And in fact, I always add ginger root. So around 3 grams is the evidence-based amount that's meant to help tackle nausea. It's not going to work for everybody, but why not give it a go? Chuck in some ginger root, or have some ginger root tea with your toast or your porridge.
Toast four ways, love it. Okay. Fatigue.
I think if you're feeling tired, you don't want something that's going to make you feel not probably a very carb heavy. You want something that's a bit more protein rich as well. So I've got an incredible bean stew in the book as well. And there's a lovely halloumi tray bake, actually, I think. So something like that. If you don't eat cheese, to anyone listening, obviously I've got flexi options for every recipe. So if you don't eat halloumi, replace it with chicken or with tofu or whatever floats your boat. But going for a tray bake is a great way because you've got those whole veggies there as well, and you're going to get the energy releasing from those carbohydrates rather than something that's going to hit your bloodstream very quickly. So when we break down mashed potato, for instance, versus eating a tray baked potato. So I've already gone sciencey on this, but versus
tray baked. It's fine.
You love it. That's okay. Versus eating the tray baked potato with the skin on, you've minimized the effort the body needs to break it down. So what you've done is given yourself a bit of a blood sugar spike, because that's the difference between ultra processed foods and foods you make from scratch at home. Mm. So by doing a tray bake, you're not going to get that blood sugar spike that's going to cause you to crash.
And also there's less washing up.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that such a bonus of the tray bakes, the classics? But we've also got a lovely like green and butternut squash type pastas in there as well. I'm trying to get veggies into pastas, which could be another nausea one, actually, off the top of my head.
And good for babies.
And good for babies. Oh my goodness, I love it. Oh yeah. You whip up if you've got a toddler as well and you're pregnant about to have a newborn. These recipes are, they're good for you.
Okay, another one, constipation. It's glamorous. It happens.
It happens to, I think, you would probably know a stat on how many women experience constipation.
Oh, like, it's loads, isn't it? Same. And then post-birth as well, right? This is like a fourth trimester can be an issue as well, which is not when you want it.
Oh my God, yeah. It's so, so difficult. This is when you want to be getting that fiber in. And you also, I would try and encourage something that's quite light in the digestive system, but equally something that's going to keep bowel movements going. So I've got some lovely recipes that involve seasonal fruits like a peach and ricotta salad, but I've also mixed that onto putting it onto a toast item again. So people don't think to put fruit on toast as much, but a roasted peach in the oven means it will break down quite quickly, like I explained before, but help get bowel movements going with the carbohydrate base as well. It doesn't have to be loads of beans. You know, if anything, you've got to be careful if you're constipated that you're drinking enough water and you don't just suddenly go crazy for fiber overnight. You've got to build it up slowly. Just to bring up the topic of laxatives when you're in the hospital, because I think it's quite important. I don't know how you feel, but I, in my experience in clinic, haven't felt all of my clients have been given them, needed to take them. And then you've got the problem of the knock-on side effects of taking them. Now, they're so important for some women because, you must talk about this all the time, how scary that first poo is and getting bowel movements back.
Just feel like everything's going to fall out and you're going to open your stitches, and actually you're not going to do that.
The stitches was the biggest thing for me. I had an episiotomy. I just remember sitting on the toilet thinking, what is going to happen to me? Yeah. But for women, it's just so important to encourage snack on fruit every single day. Get those main meals in. Keep the fiber consistent, but don't go overboard and suddenly have a huge, pasta bake that night thinking this is going to help me go tomorrow, because you need to build that up slowly with the hydration.
And I think when it comes to constipation, like, prevention's better than cure, isn't it? If you can make sure that you've got that high fiber diet and all that hydration so that you don't reach constipation, then you're in such a better place.
I think as well, in the lead up, the last few weeks, because of how little room you've got and the baby's bigger and you don't feel comfortable, bowel movements slow down anyway, naturally. And you've got the hormonal fluctuations, which slows down the pulsations and the cramping of the digestive system to get things moving through. But they could see me right now, my hand gestures. I'm like, I'm doing proper pumping with my hands and I'll making
snap
a wiggly.
This is a video.
Yeah. This is a video clip. For all the lovely ladies that struggle, when you hit 38 weeks plus, really try and focus on your diet, because like Pip has said, if you can get those bowel movements going, you won't have as much of a problem and you won't need the laxatives post-birth, and you'll be able to keep that up.
Amazing. And one last one. And this one's kind of selfishly for me, Rhiannon. Sweet tooth cravings.
Oh, I have so many. I have amazing chocolate cookies. I've got berry brownies in there, which are delicious. But do you know, I'm more of a, I would go for a flapjack over a brownie type girl. So it depends.
Okay, I'm a brownie girl.
You're a brownie girl. And you like cakes. So I've got a good loaf in there as well. Yeah, I've got a good loaf. So you'd go for brownies. But for anyone listening, you know, I've got some delicious gingery oat bars with apricots. So the reason I put apricots in, dried apricots, they're a source of iron as well. Obviously an amazing source of fiber, and dried fruit as well can contain more calcium. And all of these nutrient requirements increase when you've just had baby as well. So yeah, there's basically
covered,
I've got you all covered. There's everything in there. There's even like a sort of bone broth type creation for people that want to go the extra mile and invest and go down that route. It's, you know, it's optional. It's not for everybody, but I really pulled that from the Asian type of holistic way of looking at nutrition. So I may be evidence-based, but I've looked at all the different angles.
I love it. I love it. Now, Rhiannon, you know, because you've been here before, I always ask, and I don't know how you're going to find any more, to be honest, this might be a challenge, but for three top tips. So I wondered if you could share three top tips to eating for a healthier pregnancy.
Okay, tip number one is, first of all, make sure that you are trying to keep the diet varied, because it's very easy to get stuck in a rut anyway. But in pregnancy, because these nutrient needs increase, it just means you're more likely to get more sources of iron and more sources of calcium, these key nutrients that the body really needs. I mean, that they test you for iron frequently throughout, because, you know, in labor, with blood loss and all these different types of things and growth of baby, it's so important. So don't forget, there are plant-based sources. If you don't eat red meat, you don't just rely on your supplement. My tip is get a varied diet, so you're getting iron from beans and pulses and tofu and dried fruit, not just, yeah, looking at that. Tip number two would probably be to make sure that you're aware of that serotonin connection. So carbs and proteins at every meal, like we've said. So carbs and proteins together at every meal. So think, fancy a snack right now. Or I might just have an oat cake and, you know, I might just have a cube of chocolate or two. But where's your protein there? Really always question, where's my protein? Where's my good quality carbs? And the final tip, it is very difficult to come up with the three top tips.
I have thrown you on the spot a lot today, to be fair.
You have, but it's good.
You are heavily pregnant.
No, it shows that somehow there's still a brain cell somewhere left inside my brain. Brain cells, that will be my next top tip. Get as much dark coloured fruit and veg in your diet as possible, because that's the antioxidants that are going to protect your brain and growth. So lots of berries, and it's expensive now. And strawberries are in season in the summer. Try and think what blackberries more so in the autumn, winter. Think about seasonal food and buy it frozen. It will save you a fortune if you buy a frozen bag.
Yeah, frozen berries are game-changing, aren't they? They're so much more budget-friendly. And then you don't have food waste, which is
major budget. I mean, if you look at a punnet of what you get in one or two portions of berries versus a bag of frozen berries. Mm. Anyway, different subject.
Yeah. We'll do that next time.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much for letting me steal you again. And if we don't speak before, which I hope we will, best of luck with everything that is to come, and enjoy those days in your PJ snuggled up at home cuddling your newborn baby.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'd be hugely grateful if you could take a moment to leave a quick review. It honestly means the world to me to hear from you as a listener. And of course, to ensure you don't miss upcoming episodes, hit subscribe too. Remember, I'm here to support you through pregnancy, birth, and beyond, through my range of pregnancy, birth prep, and postpartum courses at midwifepip.com. I hope to get to know you better and to help you on your empowering journey soon.